would there be any great harm done to the code to use an oddball penalty in the section as opposed to classifying the crime?
Why is it an oddball penalty? Won't you provide in, you know, class C or D or something, and it'd be a felony hyphen misdemeanor, or even when you pass it in final form? If not, you can say this is a class C felony or a misdemeanor in the judge's discretion.
We really have quite a few crimes. Well, with our degree structure, though, we're kind of getting away from the misdemeanor felony approach.
What I mean is, can't you do that later on?
Yeah,
when you tag
sure.
The,
sure.
The B1 penalty is.
Yeah, because I don't think that now, except for the marijuana one or the narcotic dangerous drug one, the highest felony misdemeanor penalty was 7 years. That's larceny and a failure.
10 years for AWDW.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a 10-year one.
Well, it could well be that the commission may want to say, with the classification of, say, a B or a Class C felony, provide right in the definition of that type of felony that it can be treated as an indictable misdemeanor. Mm-hmm. And then you just slug this into whatever category you'd want, B or C or whatever one it was. I don't think there'd be any difficulty there.
A little off the subject, but somewhat related to this. We are going to get into sentencing, are we not, on the procedural part? Are we going to talk about indeterminate sentences?
Oh, sure, yeah. Okay. We'll do that with this, with our substantive revision.
Right. It'll be part of the procedure,
the
though, when we go back
structure.
To that.
The sentencing structure.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Including whether we go to indeterminate sentence.
Yes.
Yeah. This takes part of Jake's problem, of those counties which lay down. Well, the same thing with cattle rustling in Eastern Oregon. You catch life.
Well, I had a case last year.
Cattle rustling?
I don't think that... I think we can do anything we want when we get to that area.
Sure.
As I recall, the policy decision was we'd wait until we got through the nuts and bolts here and then go into the sentencing structure and so forth.
Yeah. Well, I bring that up only because this is a social area of the law, really. And the sentencing, with the wide latitude in sentencing, you can have some rather bad results depending on the society of the judge. Assuming the judges are part of society.
Would you like to take a little break?
Yeah, why don't we take a little break? If anybody hasn't heard yet, Tom Tunney is the new Supreme Court Justice.
No. Oh, he is?
As of 3 o'clock, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I would move.
Okay. Got a motion. We got a mover here.
All right. I would move that we, in a section, in effect, combine sections 2 and 4, the possession and sale of both narcotic and dangerous drugs into one section here in the new code.
Frank, wouldn't it be easier just to direct the staff to pick out the criminal sections of 474, 475, and draft them?
Probably.
But rather than trying to...
Yeah.
In the instance of for a clear directive...
Question.
Let me see. What is the motion now?
I had a motion before.
To bring that over.
Which was simply to bring over the criminal sections out of 474, 475.
But it died by lack of action.
Well,
before the recess.
The recess cut off.
It expires.
Yes, it
at the
cuts
recess.
Off any motion that's on the floor, unless it's expressly reserved to carry over.
Oh boy.
Now let me make sure.
Give a guy a little power. Look, turns into a parlor.
What I'm saying is, let's combine possession and sale of narcotic and dangerous drugs in one statute, one section.
And do away with the distinction between first and second degree?
Sale, possession, amount.
Or is that...
Yeah, that's it. And then going to move to delete the 3 and 5. But it probably would be simpler to do it the way...
What you're doing is you're seconding his motion, aren't you?
That's what you're doing, isn't it?
I'm...
I'll second your motion. I'll give you my motion, I'll second.
All
Okay.
But I was thinking if we just direct the staff to do it, then I guess we're through for today, huh?
Unless you want to spend some time going through the balance of these sections, just what their derivation is to satisfy yourselves.
Well, what is the, is there any further discussion on Frank's motion or Dave's, depending on which it is? Frank's motion seconded by Dave.
Well, mine is different than Dave's, come to think about, because mine combines narcotics and dangerous drugs in one section, and if you just kind of take them from the other statute, you'd have two different statutes, one on narcotics and one on dangerous drugs.
Or you don't have to worry if marijuana is
Yeah, you don't have to worry about narcotics or dangerous because it's
I'll
all right
Frank's
there in
motion.
One section.
Whatever it is.
Does that solve that problem?
It's all treated,
well,
it's treated in the same statute.
It's the same, I mean.
But we don't run into the problem of having marijuana defined as a narcotic drug.
It's still defined that way,
as
but
a
it's
narcotic drug,
not
but it
treated,
wouldn't make
it's
any
not treated
difference
differently because
if it was defined as a dangerous drug, it'd be, it's all right there in one section.
You ready for the question? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carry.
I want to see how this motion comes out in a minute. Here's the real power of
have you got it? Okay.
Okay. And then let's spend a few minutes on 6, 7, 8.
Did I have in my motion to delete 3 and 5?
Yeah. In other words, you'd end up with one section in the place of 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Right.
Or more as may be appropriate.
Yeah. More. Number 6.
Causing drug addiction in another. A person commits the crime of causing drug addiction in another if he knowingly and unlawfully causes or aids in causing another person to become addicted to a narcotic or dangerous drug. That restates present Oregon law. The only question I had in my mind is we're using the word addicted again.
Has anybody ever prosecuted under this?
You didn't find any cases under
no,
it.
No, there aren't any cases under it. I think it's part of the Uniform Narcotic
Drug Act. Does it do anything? I don't think it does a blooming thing.
Doesn't the present Oregon law have the exceptions in it of a physician?
What is the,
oh, yeah,
well,
what
we've
is got that
in
there.
What is the present statute, Roger, that's
475070.
Has there ever been a prosecution under it?
No. Yeah, I don't
Anybody
think there
it.
Ever has. I don't think it's...
How are you, Leo?
It would
no.
seem, it would be hard for me to imagine how a person would really
35
cause addiction without having sold or dispensed or...
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to have any utility to me.
Isn't it sort of thing which would appease the legislature, perhaps, and thereafter be innocuous? I can't imagine a prosecution under it.
Would you consider yourself appeased by this, Representative Frost?
Shut up.
Why don't we delete it?
Yeah, this is the thing that I kind of...
That shouldn't be in the minutes, I'm sure. It won't be in the minutes.
Object to, I mean, like, you know, we've got all these variety of larceny statutes, you know, stealing a cow or stealing a dog or... stealing this, that, and the other thing, the special interest stuff that's come in, and that now we just call it stealing and be done with it.
Prosecutions here can be under possession, aren't they? Or
sure.
furnishing?
Just a waste of...
For selling, and it really doesn't do anything, and I don't see any need for having it. Leave it over in 474475.
We shouldn't do that.
I would move that we not have section 6.
I would second that.
You know, it's really not even any good as a cop out or anything because the penalty you got in there, I mean, it's
a consumer of a penalty.
But what is the penalty?
10 years.
More than that. Well, it's presently 10 years, isn't it?
That's the maximum.
That wasn't affected, was it, by the by the.
1830. No. And I don't know really how you'd it would seem to me that causing drug addiction would be something that would happen over such a period of time.
It's probably more of a civil remedy, too, than it is criminal.
Question.
Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion to delete Section 6, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Along with that, then we would, this would carry with it a recommendation by the commission that 475070 be repealed.
Correct.
Okay.
Section 7.
Criminal use of drugs. A person commits a crime of criminal use of drugs if, while in this state, he knowingly and unlawfully uses or is under the influence of a narcotic or dangerous drug. Section 7 it restates 475-625, which is on page 36.
Now that was included, wasn't it, in 1538?
Now this is a slight change, isn't it? That because we add in the dangerous drug to what now is a statute that only applies to narcotic drugs, and I think it's a good deal to add the dangerous drug thing to it because. You've got this situation, if you can't prove which specific narcotic drug that they're using, they could just as well be using a dangerous drug.
This was changed, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it's in there now. Yeah. It covers dangerous drugs.
Yeah.
The 69 amendment that does.
Yeah, yeah. The 183. Oh, I see that. Put, yeah, okay.
This is a conforms to the changes made.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, as a matter of drafting. What makes the use of a drug unlawful?
Without prescription.
Yeah.
If a prescription is required.
Is that clear merely by saying unlawfully?
Well, if we use the definition of unlawfully, it means in violation of any of the provisions of ORS chapter
474-475. In other words, if you get it from a doctor, it's okay, and if you don't, why, you're using them unlawfully.
I don't know what would be wrong, however, with using the wording in sub 2 of 475-625. Which goes a little further. It says, except when administered or dispensed by or under the direction of a person authorized by law to prescribe and administer.
Yeah, both those sections one.
Yeah, maybe from a standpoint of stopping someone who would say, well, you're making it vague, and I don't know how much difference it makes, but.
Well, let me ask you this, Roger. What, I take it that if we pass 7, then 625 would be repealed.
Yeah.
All right. Then if 625 is repealed, what in 474 or 475 says that makes it unlawful?
Well, 474 and 475, those provisions state when it is lawful. And we've defined unlawfully to mean in violation of any of those provisions. In other words, if you're using a narcotic drug or under the influence of a narcotic drug, in violation of the provisions of 474 and 475,
well,
it would be covered.
No, but the point I make is, if you repeal 625, then what section of 474 or 475 makes it unlawful to smoke marijuana?
Well, it says that you can only use a narcotic drug or a dangerous drug under prison. But that's what statute that we're going to pull over.
You see my point.
Well, it would mean using a narcotic or dangerous drug, for example, without a prescription.
Well. Is there a section in 474 that says that?
You mean it says you have to have a prescription to use a narcotic drug? Well, it lays out the provisions, starting with 474-030, procedure to manufacture. Obtain a license, procedure obtaining narcotics and under what conditions they may be dispensed, under what conditions a druggist can sell drugs, under what conditions a physician or dentist could administer drugs.
Well, as long as you're satisfied it's taken care of, that's fine.
Well,
I see nothing wrong with Representative Cross suggesting that one. We would be, in effect, saying the same thing.
Yeah. Well, if we do, why don't we use the wording that's presently in the statute? Again, just it's a lot easier to tell somebody, look, all we've done is taken it out of here and put it over here.
Well, in other words, what you would propose is to reword 7 to make it consistent with 65.
To put the exception in, rather than saying unlawfully, to put the exception in that administered
by. Starting with the word exception.
Yeah, right.
Thank you very kindly, Warren Jake, to Wilder.
God, we're losing our brains.
No,
you have a little more enthusiasm than that.
Losing the benefit of my life.
The next time you want to come in and torpedo an entire draft, can you give us a little warning? Any objection to the motion by Representative Frost to substitute, in effect, 625 for Section 7? 625 in the following section.
Now, just I was talking to Jake, so I don't even know what he's.
What he's proposing is, rather than having it's unlawful, it, you can't use or be under the influence of a drug unlawfully, to have it the same as on page 31. Can't use it or be under the influence except when it's administered by a doctor.
What effect would have is a person commits a crime of criminal use of drugs if while in this state he knowingly uses or is under the influence of a narcotic or dangerous drug, comma, except when administered or dispensed by or under the direction of a person authorized by law to prescribe and administer dangerous drugs or narcotic drugs to human beings.
Yeah. And you'd combine dangerous.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Any objection, Don? It'll be considered as ordered.
Now, what about this thing, if while in this state, I take it this refers to the state of Oregon, does it refer to while in a state of being under the influence of
do you need the words in this state?
I take it that we wouldn't have any jurisdiction really to try someone.
Well, why do we need those words?
Well, I think the reasoning was, as I recall a testimony on this, was that somebody comes in from California, hiring a kite and hits Grants Pass and bangs into a car and they pick him up. They can't show possession, they can't show use. He's within the state.
He's under the influence.
Under the influence.
Whether you say in this state or not.
Yeah.
But that's covered.
You know, that's
by
like
under
saying
the
that nobody shall burn down a barn in this state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah,
I mean, you're going to have to prove either that he used or he was under the influence. Not only in this state, but in this county, Your Honor.
Thank you, Professor Venue.
Why don't you take we that? Don't mess with that kind of stuff in Washington County. Yeah. If the guilty is guilty, if not guilty, we don't go.
You feel it. Washington County covers the.
Is it clear that.
Well, that is the state, isn't it?
Clear that. Where the burden of proof lies?
About what?
Under sub 2.
Yes, that's exactly the same as the sub 3 of 625, except that Roger has better stated the, rather by saying prosecution, it's better than saying complaint, information, or indictment, or any action or proceedings brought.
Now there's
in other words, it would be the defendant would have to inject the matter into the case, but once injected, the burden is on the state.
Yeah, this doesn't shift the burden.
Right, okay.
While we're talking about criminal use of drugs, should we by motion take out if while in this state?
Oh,
yeah.
What the words while in this state, so it reads. Crime of criminal use of drugs if he knowingly and unlawfully uses
unless there's any, unless there's no objection unless there's an objection it will be considered that the those four words will be taken out.
Let me just
I would move that we want to adopt this section by section.
Yeah,
I would move that we adopt section.
I thought we already passed your motion, didn't we? On section 7?
We haven't adopted it yet.
And I want to talk a little bit yet, but I guess I can't add to your motion, so go ahead. Is there some way that we can repeal the second Bow Amendment? As he has also ruled that a person in possession of a cigarette, the marijuana cigarette, smoking it, is not in possession, he's using. And threw the state out on the prosecution of possession of, of marijuana on the basis that he was in fact using and was covered under this statute and was not covered under the so therefore the possession statute did not apply.
In other words, you got to indict him for use.
Yeah, you got to charge him with use. You can't charge him with possession. A person using a marijuana cigarette is not in possession. Can we, just in the commentary or something, throw something in? I don't know what weight the commentary this commission would carry in Josephine County, but...
No more than existing law does.
Was that actually a part of that decision?
No, it was a different decision in a different case.
I can say none of you guys better try a case down
there. Holy smokes.
Well, let me ask you this. When would you, apart from Josephine County, when would you charge a man with use as opposed to possession?
Use would be a cop down from possession. And when you would charge him with use is when be more apt to be under the influence of, or when you come into the place and they have the needle and the syringe there, but the speed has already been shot into them, then you might charge them with use.
If there were traces in the needle, for example, or I'm thinking of if you you pass around a marijuana cigarette and the undercover agent ends up with the last part of it, sticks it in his pocket, and then prosecutes the guy on his left, or all of them for that matter, with use, and produces it at the time of trial with the lab analysis showing him positive for marijuana. I suppose that'd be use, but couldn't you equally charge him with possession, given that set of facts? I just wonder if maybe we're getting close to a Perkin problem.
They are separate acts. The holding or carrying it is the possession of it. The dragging on it or popping one of the pills is the
use.
Now
you're talking like Judge Bo.
No.
When would a use not necessarily include a possession?
Oh, the possession would be there. When you would charge,
in other words,
all
uses are
you got somebody
and not
under
all
the
possessions are uses.
Seems logical.
Mm-hmm. There was a possession prior to the use. And I suppose if you could get it pumped out of his stomach, you'd probably charge him possession of that yet.
Of course they typically down at Ton Point, the way they controlled the Job Corps was to charge a minor in possession whenever they found him obviously intoxicated on the street. There's quite a bit of difference of thought on that in Astoria, because...
Yes, we got police reports from Astoria, possession by consumption is what they charge him with.
Minor in possession. Yeah. And all they've got is that he's obviously a little tipsy. And there are many who think that's it's not an appropriate way to do it. But I just wonder if you don't create a Perky problem by
having a different penalty for use than possession. Do you see, am I looking under the bed there, Don?
Well, I think you are, but... because, you know, I think you've got reasonable standards in these statutes to so you can distinguish one from another, in my opinion, that and you don't have unbridled discretion, I don't think, without any guidelines. And really, with Perkey, the way I understand Perkey is that you have to have a single statute that can be treated either as a felony or a misdemeanor under the same statute without any standards to guide either the prosecutor or the grand jury. Not two separate statutes, because...
Well, of course, Perkey has been raised in all different sorts of situations, and the Supreme Court has continually said,
it's been shot down every time.
This isn't Perkey. But
your typical...
They continue to argue it, sure.
In other words, what kind of a set of facts would you have in which you would start out with a use prosecution? I agree that as a practical matter, you'll drop down to use on a deal basis, mm-hmm. charged with possession, and you cop him out to use and make a deal and so on. But actually, if you started out with a set of facts and charged him with use, can you imagine a set of facts in which you couldn't also, at that same time, charge him with possession?
Until this last session legislature did included narcotic and dangerous drug and being under the influence of it, you're not having to prove which one. This statute was a nullity except for a cop-out, except where you might come in and the guy, you know, had the needle and trend right there and you had this stuff.
What about your guy passing the roach around? It belongs to one guy, he maintains possession, but he puts it in somebody else's mouth and lets them take a drag off it. Would that be a...
So the guy never held it himself?
Never held it himself.
Well, that could probably be construed as a use.
Oh, I think...
It'd be a use, it wouldn't be a possession.
I think it'd be possession.
Sure, it's constructive possession.
Well,
what the hell?
Look at some of those old cases, old bootleg cases.
Well, yeah,
but they don't apply. You see, I've continued to argue that. Gordon here.
I know you keep saying that, Frank.
Judge Bo keeps saying things, too.
Just like I keep saying there ain't no Perkey problem. It doesn't
Well, how about one person receiving a shot from another? Is the person receiving a shot from the other ever in possession of it? Okay, heroin, for example, if I give you a shot.
Well, he'd be... I suppose you could argue that he was in possession of which was...
He'd be using it, but maybe wouldn't be possessed.
Sort of an en passant type of possession.
Say, well, I hope we get that in the minute.
Oh, wow.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, like in chess, where you capture, your pawn can capture en passant. In passing, I mean, I would be facetious to a certain extent, but, I mean, your possession, really, it'd just be that while that needle was in him.
It's like dropping acid, but have somebody cut sick across the room and throw them at you like jelly beans. Catch them.
But there would be a certain period of time when you'd be in possession of it in your mouth. The problem is once it's in there, how are you going to prove what it is? You see.
Now that we know how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, should we go back to
any further discussion on Section 7?
Well,
any germane relevant discussion.
You don't think we have
discussion
to repeal the second Bull Amendment. You think it's repealed by implication.
Repealed by a sense of logic and good sense.
Anybody wish to move
actually,
on Section 7 in its entirety?
I move we adopt Section 7 as amended and subject to the amendments directed to the staff.
Ready for the question? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. Section 8.
Criminal death promotion. Our major changes in this section.
Yeah.
Line 3, the use of the word addicts.
Which one is the frequency addicts statute now?
(clears throat) 474.130, isn't it, Roger?
Yeah.
What page is that on?
Page 26.
You know, what? This would apply if you were in somebody's home and you knew that upstairs part of the party was up blowing pot and you weren't, but you didn't leave or anything. That's right?
Well, under the old statute, I have a hard time on that, but...
Well, we don't really need that, do we? I mean, as far as putting it in our criminal code, the way it's treated now.
Well, 474-130, the bulk of that statute is a nuisance statute.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, but that's the common cop-out. That's the...
Sub 3 is really in point, and then it has a penalty.
It's a misdemeanor, isn't it?
Yeah. No, because 474-990 is
a... Yeah, it's a misdemeanor.
Yeah, it's a misdemeanor.
Frequenting is a misdemeanor.
Violation of subsection 2 or 3 of 474-110 is a misdemeanor. Yeah. That's in 1838.
What are your changes, Roger? You have some changes for the section already, don't you?
Well... Just in the structure, I don't think it reads too well, because a person commits a crime of criminal drug promotion if he knowingly maintains a frequency place resorted to by drug addicts for the purpose of unlawfully using narcotics or dangerous drugs.
Addicts is a bad word.
Yeah, we changed addicts to user, but it's hard to tell in reading that what we mean by for the purpose of unlawfully using narcotics or dangerous drugs, whether that refers to the drug addicts, or that refers to the actor.
Yeah, I think that should be.
Well, couldn't you
clarify
by putting the for the purpose phrase, putting it after if, clear it up?
Well, you have some clarifying language already, don't you?
Yeah, I have a person commits a crime of criminal drug promotion if he knowingly maintains a frequency place one resorted to by drug users for the purpose of unlawfully using narcotic or dangerous drugs, or two, which is used for the unlawful keeping or sale of narcotic or dangerous drugs.
So my guy would be covered, wouldn't he?
Well, where you got your defense, if you're there just that one time, is you argue frequency.
Yeah.
You argue that, and this is a problem which makes prosecutions under this statute, I mean, where you got an actual charge and a not guilty plea and trying charge under this statute, makes it dang difficult, because you got the term frequence there, and whether frequence, did quite a bit of research on that at one time as to what frequence meant, then it means more than once. The best instruction that we could get out of the court was more than once. There are some definitions of it of going habitually or something like this.
It's designed for the person who maintains a psychedelic shop where high school kids go blow pot.
It's meant for the Blue Fox, the Red Barn, all these hippie flop houses where, you know, one of them may have an apartment. Oh. And these kids just come and congregate there. Somebody's paying rent on the place, I mean, one of them, two of them, and they've got mattresses all over the floor, and anybody that wants to come there and stay there stays there. And
crash pads.
Hmm?
Crash pads.
Yeah. Just a place where they're continuing. This is where all the kids who skip high school go and gather.
This is a statute you use to close a place like that down? Rather,
yeah,
more often than...
Like Don's comment, you really don't need the nuisance thing. We've never brought a nuisance thing in there, but it's always a nice statute to have to get the landlord to clean the place up.
This on abatement, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
I have trouble with laws like this, philosophically. But
you mean on the frequenting aspect, mm-hmm, of being at a place with, mm-hmm, the same people? Well, it's fairly common in these areas. Prostitution, you have the same type of thing. Gambling.
Well, maybe I shouldn't mention this, but I will. As long as Don's to be a problem with this type of statute.
Here it comes.
And maybe my mentioning this will cause you to automatically repeal the thing. I don't know. But you come into a place with a... you've got a search warrant coming in to search the premises. You come in, there's a party going on, several are under the influence of drugs. There's others just sitting down, you know, the odor of marijuana is pretty strong here. It's in the ash cans and all this type of thing. So you arrest everybody for frequent. And then the police can search each individual to
ascertain if anybody's
to get the ones in possession in the place. Otherwise, a search warrant for a premises isn't going to allow you to search a person unless you got in the search warrant to search.
I have been in places in Portland that are like you are talking about, where I can see people that are obviously under the influence, and I can smell the grass on their clothes and everything. Now, I could have been arrested in those places under a similar statute.
It'd be kind of interesting if somebody challenged the validity of the arrest under the dragnet theory of this Mississippi case, because if that was the first time you saw him in there or me in there, and you arrested for frequenting, I'm not sure what a resourceful defense lawyer couldn't take you right over the humps with that Mississippi case.
Yeah, this
sweep everybody up, search them, take their prints, and so
on. Any tavern or restaurant up around Portland State, you can almost give us those facts, and I can take you in there and show you those about any time.
Yeah, and as drug usage becomes more common, more in the open as it is getting all the time, you're going to get even more of those problems. I mean, what the picture I'm drawing you, it's an apartment. It's somebody's apartment is what it is.
Yeah, but it could also be the cheerful tortoise up by Portland State. Because you can go in there a good share of the time and I can give you those facts.
Okay. Well, so maybe you ought to bait the nuisance.
It's a pretty nice little tavern, actually.
Yeah.
All the props go there and everything.
The Constitution Device Squad didn't like the intent required, the intent to engage in, which we don't have here.
The what was that, Roger?
Well, in the prostitution article, we have an offense for being found in or about a house of prostitution, but we, in the subcommittee, we added mens rea of you have to show an intent to engage in prostitution, not only that the person is there, but there was also an intent to engage in prostitution.
Yeah, but you have a culpability requirement here, knowingly.
You know, that would also apply to the dorms.
And of course, knowingly, we've defined when used with respect to conduct or to a circumstance described in a statute defining a crime means that a person acts with an awareness that his conduct is of a nature so described or that a circumstance so described exists. So the innocent guy who just doesn't know what the hell's going on in this place, I think, because of our culpability requirement, would be protected.
Yeah, but let's
you'd
just
have
take
to show knowing.
Let's take the dorm.
Well,
you live in the dorm, you know people are blowing pot in the dorm, you know even who they are, maybe. You walk down the hall, the smoke's rolling out, you go in there and in and out of there all the time, that's where you live.
To get down to more specifically just in the dorm, take a situation where in the dorm, a roommate, one of them blows pot and the other doesn't.
Yeah, I've had that come up in my classes where kids have said that, you know. I live with this guy who's... So I told the girl.
What did you tell him?
I told him I didn't know.
That's a good safe answer.
Well, this sort of...
But that I'd one of the things you can do is avoid the appearance of evil.
If you go to a party where you know marijuana is being smoked, you should leave.
Which is just what I tell my kid.
Yeah, but you know darn well every night that he goes out, he's probably exposed to it.
Well, we could. Do you think there should be an intent element included in there as far as the frequenting with the intent to engage in?
Well, I can just see carloads of kids and people of all varieties and descriptions just hauled in indiscriminately if you have bad law enforcement.
We could put that in, Frank, and then we could write a prima facie provision in there. If you're found in there, it's presumed that you have the intent.
That's like a telephone call.
Yeah.
Listen, speaking of phone calls, are you going to call?
Well, he's supposed to call me, you see.
But I'm not so sure that we've had the thing, and by and large, they use pretty good judgment on it. And it, on occasion, can be very useful as a prosecution device.
It's a good job.
Of course, I suppose if it becomes too much of a weapon, used unscrupulously, or you get enough heat up to change it. I don't know.
Well, in this whole area.
Of course, the whole area is, I'm continuing to be bothered by the whole area.
So am I.
But I don't think this group, either the subcommittee or the full commission, is going to be able to.
The one saving grace is that the police are using increasing discretion in the enforcement of all these things. They're being very, very careful about how they're enforcing. I think generally speaking, that's so.
Well, I've got it's reached the volume stage now where you just can't.
Yeah, and the DAs are using discretion because they're getting cases coming out for years.
Well, I'm not going to bleed and die about it, but I do have problems with it.
Any further discussion? Section 8.
We will get up Rogers revised wording for Section 8.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Abstain.
Section 9 is a restatement of 474170, which is on page 34. Person commits a crime of obtaining a drug unlawfully if he obtains or procures the administration of a narcotic or dangerous drug, A, by fraud, deceit, misrepresentation, or substitute, B, by the forgery or alteration of a prescription or any written order, C, by the concealment of a material fact, or D, by the use of a false name or the giving of a false address, E, by falsely assuming to be a manufacturer, wholesaler, apothecary, physician, dentist, veterinarian, or other authorized person.
Why do we use those ancient words?
Apothecary?
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a nice word.
Oh, all right. That's good enough reason. The pharmacists use it.
Yeah, if you deleted that, you'd have some.
It's using the definition.
Guy coming in say, I wasn't pertaining to be a pharmacist or anything else. I was pertaining to be an apothecary.
474-410 sub 7 defines an apothecary.
All right.
Yeah, this section 9 creates our biggest problem in carrying over the definitions and restating them in this article, because we have a number of defined words: manufacturer, wholesale. All those in E are defined. Okay.
What is this one, by the concealment of a material fact? What would that be?
Okay, by they come in and they say that they are suffering from some
toothache,
back pain, okay, or something that
subjective symptoms,
that they're from out of town, their doctor at home been prescribing this desbutol,
and they've been to nine physicians right before that doing the same thing.
Okay, I buy it.
Let me ask this, Roger. Does the word subterfuge really do anything? I appreciate it's in the present statute, but I suppose it doesn't hurt to
no,
put it in.
No, I don't see
really
that it means anything other than fraud and deceit. In fact, it seems to me, I didn't tinker with this much. Just, there's quite a bit of overlap in this, on these subdivisions, seem to me.
It does cause you a little bit of problem sometimes when you're drawing a complaint out of this to decide whether it was by fraud, deceit, misrepresentation, or subterfuge, or whether it was by concealment of a material fact, or because the use of a false name is also misrepresentation. So what you do is you charge by fraud, deceit, misrepresentation, and subterfuge, by and concealment of a material fact, and by use of a false name, did then and there, unlawfully, willfully.
Save the legal steno some time typing that stuff up.
The other thing that sub B says, by the forgery or alteration of a prescription or any written order. I know, I don't know what a written order is.
Yeah, it's defined.
Is it?
In the definitions.
In 010? Official written order, sub 20.
Well,
that's in effect what we were saying, so I suppose form should use the word official.
Or any official written order. Then I also have a question on D. You say by the use of a false name or the giving of a false address. Now, what is use and what is giving, and is there a distinction?
Well,
in other words, if I use a false name, am I not also giving a false name, and vice versa? Do we?
In other words, you're saying by the use or giving of a false name or false address, you have.
I don't imagine there's any real good explanation for the choice of those terms.
Well, these are from the.
Yeah. Why don't we change that to the use or giving of a false name or address? I move.
Any objection? Then
is it necessary? Oh, go ahead. You had something.
In E, falsely assuming. Does assume mean the same as pretend?
I don't know that it means the same. I think that's what they had in mind, though. I think they intended it to mean pretend, but I'm not sure.
See, the present statute says, no person shall, for the purpose of obtaining a narcotic drug, falsely assume the title of or represent himself to be a hoop-de-doo and doctor and dentist and so on. Seems to me you'd get all you possibly could by falsely representing himself to be. Wouldn't that cover all of the range of conduct that you're looking for?
One definition of assume is to pretend to possess, affect, or feign.
I think probably representing himself to be.
Falsely representing himself to be.
Is more precise than I'm trying to say. Because in using the word assuming, I meant that he falsely represented himself to be.
Any objection if we change that?
No.
Okay. Now,
is section 2 in the present statute, is that why you're bringing it over?
Yes.
Because really, it has no use. It just restates the privilege law.
Yeah, it's subsection 2 of 474.
There is no privilege, physician-patient privilege in the criminal law. I suppose it would have some benefit in administrative law, maybe, but...
Is the present non-applicability of privilege, physician-patient privilege, does that extend the whole range of criminal law?
It's my understanding of Betts versus Brady, that you subpoena a doctor and he's the same as any other witness in a criminal case.
In any kind of a criminal case?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there still are some privileges, though, in criminal law. You're talking only specifically about the
I'm talking about the physician-patient privilege. There's,
That's chapter 44, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
physician shall not, without the consent of his patient, be examined in a civil action as to any information and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it...
Yeah, and that's what State versus Vet says. It means what it says.
Well, why do we need this? It's a criminal statute.
Don't.
We don't need it?
I mean, it might have had some benefit in 475.
Take it out and note it in the commentary.
Take it out and note in the commentary that we intend to preserve existing law and
so forth.
Any objection if we do that?
See.
Okay.
I move accept section 9 as amended.
The only other thing, if we're going to repeal the existing law, we're getting into knowingly uttering a false prescription. This will be covered by fraud and deceit.
Well, no. Now, that's one thing that, remember when we were in fraud and deceit, we decided to leave the prescription thing in the narcotic drug thing rather than putting it under there.
Sub 5 and sub 6 are not covered presently, of the existing law, are not covered in our draft, are they?
No.
I would think that maybe there is a problem with a person who manufactures false prescriptions and sells them. Is it covered elsewhere? Page 34, Frank, is the...
Well, when we discussed this in the commission, it was in connection with our forgery article. And I wrote to the Board of Pharmacy, I wrote to the Oregon Physicians Association requesting some statement from them, sent them copies of our draft. Well, I never did get any response from them, but the reason I wrote to them was because that we felt that uttering a forged prescription would be covered as forgery, but it would not be first degree forgery. And our inquiry was whether or not forged prescriptions should be treated more seriously, and whether or not they'd be treated as a first degree forgery or under second degree. So the intent of the forgery draft is to cover forged prescriptions, but not to treat them as New York did and as Michigan did as a first degree crime.
So we do have them covered at the moment.
Yeah.
The question is the degree. How about affixing a false label to a package?
No.
Well, I don't know. Maybe this isn't much of a problem. Frank, you run across?
Well, they're usually not that, these ones we've run into so far aren't that smart that they're attaching any kind of a label to the...
Well, I think it would probably apply to someone who's trying to get around the exempt narcotics law, or and maybe a pharmacist even, I don't know, who says, well, gee whiz, I didn't know that was heroin. It was marked as being...
Well, I think it's also directed to people that might have in their possession a illegal drug that have a forged label on it showing that it's aspirin or something that is not a narcotic drug.
Pink pills for pale ladies.
Yeah, you also have the problem, though, of the common practice of people just to use pill bottles to dump other pills into, too.
Well,
it had to contain a narcotic drug, though, before it would fall within this section.
And from
did
three.
You get into these two subsections in your in the Judiciary Committee, Dave?
No. Not as far as any action was taken.
Well, what was your thinking as to why not to bring those two over into the...
Well, on subsection 5, I remember Don and I talked about it.
Because it's covered in forgery.
Forgery, yeah. I didn't
well,
give a long
5
talk
is covered. We got that in number...
No, that's not...
B.
Not uttering.
Well, that is obtaining or... if you obtain the drug by the...
Forged prescription. But what if you make up forged prescriptions and sell them?
You're in the business.
B.
You're the in court crimes thing that get you somehow.
Okay.
Conspiracy
that satisfies
or
me.
Well, the out soliciting or.
Well, we,
of course,
we,
now if you
we
want
take
to
care
to
of five, but I wonder if number six is a something that we should. I would suggest this. Perhaps we might write number six in, and then between. We won't be discussing this week before the full
no.
Mm-hmm. Between yeah. now and the time we discuss it, we might check with in this area and see what. It's my impression. It's just an impression that this is a six is very, very infrequently used.
Of course, if we follow our theory of taking the laws that exist now and putting it in the new code, we wouldn't be hurt by putting it in. And maybe there is a reason for it.
I was going to suggest we put it in and then make inquiry between now and the time we talk to the commission
about it. We could whump up a section called falsely
six over here.
Falsely labeling an arcanic drug.
Well, I think that some of these ones under this section apply more to the pharmacist and the doctor and how he handles and
I would think also if you really, you might be able by some rewording, some more drafting, to tighten up A, B, C, and D.
Well, there is quite a bit of overlap because A really is kind of just a generalized prohibition, and then B covers specialized situations, but they're really covered by A also.
I've got another question. As long as we're in this, under this section. Roger, I don't see anywhere I've been looking for. You didn't carry over the 475-100 section 4 about it, if you possess a drug not in the container it was dispensed or with the prescription along with it, it's prima facie.
Well, it's
unlawful.
Yes. There's three different areas that aren't covered. That
well, maybe I was jumping in. Maybe we should stand it, but just.
It's labeled here as just another form of criminal possession, but it you can designate.
Well, I'll tell you. You sure make an awful lot of things criminal, though. It's such
that's
a common
idea.
Practice. Somebody gets an Imprim 3 tablet for their dentist, they throw it in there with their sinus pills and carry it in their pocket.
Yeah.
Crack down on these birds.
Well, yeah, this, I don't really feel we have to go as far as what you've got proposed here, but just that if you don't have the prescription, if you don't have the, if it's not in the container, you got the prima facie evidence it's possessed unlawfully. That gets around where the guy has a whole bunch of bennies. You get them under prescription. But, he's got them. He doesn't have them in the container. He doesn't have them with the prescription there. So you don't have to worry about going and searching out to find his prescription or where he may have got them. You let him worry about coming in and proving that he got them under prescription if he actually did.
Well, isn't that what he would have to do now? You aren't required to discount the defenses. If you find him, you charge him in possession,
he does.
I assume.
Yes. Well, because you've got this prima facie thing, if you have them not, if they're not in the container that they're dispensed in, with the and not with the prescription there, then you got the prima facie that he's unlawfully possessing it.
I see, okay.
So that then, but your guy that has his prescription and gets his pill and puts in pill containing a bunch of things, he's not going to be violating the law, the present law. He
violating
would be,
this one.
He would be violating this one, yes.
Well, this restates present law. fact, it's a little more liberal because we've got two different provisions now. 474-100 on page 26 is the possession of drug lawful only in container, and that applies only to a narcotic drug.
You shaved off your mustache. That's what's different.
Trying sideburns. I had better look for the mustache. And then it's 475-100 on page 30.
Yes, it is. It's already right there.
Yeah, which applies to dangerous drugs, and that's not included here. And when you've got a dangerous drug not in the container in which it was dispensed, it's unlawful. Well, such possession is prima facie unlawful.
The guy would
if
be
he doesn't have a national label.
My wife's done that 1,000 times.
So on dangerous drugs, you can carry it not in the original container as long as you have the label. On narcotic drugs, you have to carry it in the original container. But that's the present law.
She was died
this
and had
applies
some
to both and pills. Says you have to carry it in the original container.
Aspirin bottle in her purse, she was violating the law. Could have been busted. Should have busted her.
Well, but you see, there is such a thing as that certain members in this commission hate to recognize or fail to recognize is that there is a certain amount of discretion in the prosecution, and I feel this discretion should be left there for those who'd like to take it all away as much as possible.
If the discretion were exercised as properly as it is by the member of this commission who has that discretion to exercise, I would have no problems. Or the commission member who objects to the discretion being given to the person who exercises the discretion in connection with the criminal law. Get that?
That was beautiful.
Well, do we or do we not, with our present draft, have the prima facie case made for the state if you carry it, carry a narcotic or dangerous drug in the mismarked, unmarked bottle?
It wouldn't be here in this draft.
It is not presently there.
Well, it's not presently there in present law now on a narcotic drug.
Only on a dangerous drug.
Only on a dangerous drug. And that is if it's not in its original container.
But that does not
and if you
include
don't have
the
a
defense
label.
Of properly possessing it. How do we put it in? Let's make Frank happy.
What are you going to ask next, Dave?
Okay.
He asked about something. Now what you going to
marked
ask?
Up two of them. That's fine. keep it in mind. Call those chips tomorrow.
See, the way it is now, 475-100, section 4, when a person possesses a drug not in the container in which it was dispensed to him, and a prescription for the drug is required under subsection 1 of this section, such possession is prima facie unlawful. That section, if he does not have in his possession a label prepared by the pharmacist for the drug. So all he needs is a label along with him somewhere. It doesn't have to be in the
So this changes that to the extent that dangerous drugs would be treated the same as narcotic drugs and you would have to keep them in the original containers,
well,
label or no label.
Why don't I go a little further, though, that because Don's situation is proper. If it says in his, how does it read? He's got to have it with him.
The label?
Yeah, right?
On dangerous drugs, you only have to have the label if it's out of its original container.
The label with you.
Well, if you don't have it with you, but if it is at home, say Don's wife sticks a pill properly prescribed in her purse in an aspirin box. Now, she doesn't even have a defense then.
No. In his possession, it says, though. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean he has to have it with him.
Well, this is what I'm wondering. As
I mean,
long as she has that thing at home and
can
go back
on
and
you. If it's in
well,
your house,
but
you possess it even though you're out in your car.
Well, I would say that this would interpret in your immediate possession. It says when a person possesses a drug not in a container, then you've got to have the label there.
Right or there, then. This is what concerns you. If it means that the defense is there that you've got the label at home or you've got the prescription at home or you've got the lawful authority at home someplace, and you can come in and offer this defense.
As a practical matter.
No, I see no problem.
As a practical matter, the guy says, I got this stuff in California, it's prescribed by a doctor. I mean, I got it from a pharmacist down there in California, and they don't have the container. We tell him, fine.
Well, I believe Jim Elkins,
that California doctor,
was prosecuted
and then the guy
under
said,
that section.
Ah, well, I just will plead guilty. But we're going to hold off and let him, before he entered his plea, we're going to contact the doctor.
Okay, my question is, by not having it in the container at that time, is he violating the law, period?
Yeah.
Is it a defense for him to go back and bring it in? Bring in the properly labeled container, of which he took one
pill
out and put it in his purse?
No, under the present law, as long as it was a dangerous drug, that's just prima facie, not having it, not having the label with you.
All right, how about M3?
Makes it prima facie unlawful, you see.
Okay. The defense is still there.
So the state gets past its judgment of acquittal just by showing you had it, you didn't have the prescription, you didn't have this. Then, I mean, if the case goes that far, the doctor comes in, testifies, I prescribed this for him, such, that kind of.
Well, that
bring in the pharmaceutical record, the pharmacy records, and the guy's home free. It's just prima facie, that's all it is.
Well, I understand that, Frank. What were you reading before?
Well, that's the narcotic drug.
All right,
where
narcotic
is it?
Drug.
I can't
I
find it again. I was
it's on page 26.
Oh, that's in from 3.
474-110.
Yeah. A person to whom or whose use any narcotic drug has been prescribed by the physician does for.
Okay, well, there's no defense to that one.
Soldiers may lawfully possess it
only in the container.
In the container in which it was delivered to him by the person selling or dispensing the same.
So the one that pops it in his jeweled pill case and carries it with him has
violated
the law, period. Well, I don't care.
And from 3.
Yeah, but he is a violator and is guilty technically of that crime then without a defense that he did actually lawfully possess it.
My wife's
now, okay, now that's
100
times. Well, because you see, he's not illegally possessing a narcotic drug. He is violating 474-110, which is what?
Probably a misdemeanor. But even so, it's a stupid crime. We don't have that in the draft anyway, do we?
110.
Right.
Well, it's
not in the draft.
It's in this that he handed us, you see. Now this one page.
Why do you do that to us, Roger? Well, we can take care of that as we come to it then. Frank?
No, as a matter of fact, it would appear that the penalty section, 990, would make a violation of 110, could be punished by 10 years in the penitentiary.
My wife could get 10 years?
It looks like it, the way this reads. The only thing that's a misdemeanor is 130.
There is no misdemeanor option on that. So that's a felony, period.
Well, that's ridiculous.
On a sleeping barbiturate.
She probably had those too.
Well, of course, this points out some of the shortcomings in
the women just don't carry pills
there.
And the things they're given in.
No, in fact, don't they sell a very fashionable pill box?
Sure.
It's a dual pill box.
She has several of those.
Shoot, I've done this before.
So have I.
If I just stick them in my pocket, if I'm, you know.
Yeah, sure pocket.
If you're, you know, taking medication, you're going out or going to a party or something, you slip them in your pocket.
What kind of parties do you go to?
Pill parties.
Well, we can get to that when we come to it.
With me all the time.
But on section.
Don't put that in there.
But on section 9, Frank's point, is it not that we should keep the prima facie case if it's out of the container? Excuse me. Yeah, is that section 9 he's talking about?
No, we'd have to make a separate section on it because here we're only talking about obtaining a drug unlawfully. It would actually be more in line with this separate sheet here.
Frank, I want you to know you just sent my wife away for 10 years.
Well, what, is that a 10-year one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on now. I would disagree violently.
Well, look at your penalty section.
Well, that's I was looking at it just before.
Don says only 130 is a misdemeanor. All the rest of them are felonies.
Well, now, this is just typed in here.
You don't trust everything.
Well, that's good law, though.
The statute just photocopied, the original just printed.
Believe that it is there.
Go back to the original bill filed in the archives.
Well, Roger, where were you, if you were going to, where were you going to pick up 475-100? Sale or possession of, oh, I see.
Maybe
oh,
they
yeah.
just fine her $4,500 and
well,
let it go at that.
Gee, that's terrific. 47. Well, you'd be picking them up in both places, weren't you, originally? You're going to pick up under sections 2 and 3.
Can you think of any prosecutions under that? Having a narcotic...
4 and 5, both would pick up some of that, wouldn't it?
Very frequently they use old bottles to put their narcotics in that bottle with a label on it. That's standard procedure. Yes, going on for years. Well, I can't imagine a policeman arresting Don's wife.
I would hope not.
Well, there still is, as I said before, a certain amount of discretion.
10 years, Frank, my God.
Well, could we crank in this prima facie evidence into section 10? Because that's a prima facie section.
Mm-hmm.
Or prima facie, depending upon your Latin.
Under section 10, you mean?
Yeah. I can see the necessity of this for the valid arrest and for some prosecution, as long as there is a defense that it is lawfully
and
obtained.
If that is also on the Class A, I think you're in good shape, too, or on the narcotic drug. But if it's not, I think that's a miserable statute.
But you could just add to this, or possession of a narcotic or dangerous drug in a container other than the container in which it was originally issued.
On section 10.
From the lawful source. Yeah, on section 10.
Okay.
Because he would have to come in and show, regardless, I mean, this the guy that just, you know, has his other types of drugs, I mean, they may be legitimate pills that could be subscribed.
Prescribed.
All right.
Well, the
you
only
subscribe
thing
to prescription?
Yes.
The only thing that bothers me now...
That he'd have to come in and show he had a prescription for those.
We had such a case in Jackson County within the past week. This fellow received a prescription, or he alleged that he did, claimed that he did, from a veterans hospital in Roseburg. And we made inquiry at Roseburg and determined he was correct. There was no prosecution.
Frank, are you staying down tonight?
You see, even outside of Benton County.
Well, Roger, we're still going to we're going to be lacking some of these things under 475-100, though, aren't we? In the draft.
So you're going to meet with this subcommittee tonight?
So I can.
Okay. I'll go home then. I better.
Everything passed?
Yeah, we did.
Now, you've got some exceptions in there. Now, if we repeal 475-100, there are some exceptions that are going to fall by the wayside, it seems to me, that because the way we've defined unlawfully, you've really incorporated some of these exceptions, it seems to me.
Yeah, you got to be careful what you take out of 474-475.
And this prima facie thing is limited to possession under 475-100.
Well, yeah.
So if we slug in this prima facie thing into our present, into the draft sections on possession, we're really going to sock it to somebody because we haven't provided these exceptions that are in there, have we? God, I tell you, these two chapters, the more you read them, the more confused you get. Really,
yeah.
It really shows you what's wrong with these.
Yeah, some of 475-100 is going to have to remain in the regulatory code because it, in effect, lays out how one can legally possess.
Yeah, to keep him from our, from being
the word unlawful.
Coming into our definition of unlawfully.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds to me like they should receive more careful scrutiny than we're going to give them here today.
Yeah, it's getting late.
I think we ought to take that back and see what we can do with it. I mean, that 475-100 and also this prima facie part. Is that all right, Mr.
Chairman? Yeah, you bet. Where does that leave us now?
Section 11.
11 and 12.
And then these other ones, Roger passed out in this other sheet here. They also tie back to this.
How late do you want to run?
Involved with these?
If we could finish up on these other few sections, so we can take it back then and write a new draft, a whole new ball of wax.
Section 11 is the same as present law, isn't it?
And
that just provides that if there's a proviso or exemption, it's up to the defendant it's his job to show it.
Yeah, that's 474-180 on page 27.
Any problem with that, Frank? Don? If there's no objection, 11 will be considered as approved. 12.
12 is statement of 474-210, also on page 27.
I don't see anything wrong with that either.
That's carries over. Any objection? If not, 12 will be considered as having been approved. Now then, you've got 13, 14, and 15 here, huh? Although you may want to renumber
them.
Yeah. Your new sections.
Now, the section on forfeiture has some changes in the present statute, doesn't it, Roger?
I don't think it has any substantive changes.
Maybe not subtly, but...
It's been shortened.
You see, but any conveyance used with the knowledge of its owner, most cars are owned by banks, finance companies, and very few of them would actually have any knowledge of the vehicle being used. I think the way the present statute is that if it's done with the knowledge of the driver of the vehicle, then it gives the owner a right to come in and defend against it if he didn't know.
Does the owner or the person operating or in charge thereof?
Well, I don't know if you can forfeit an automobile showing only knowledge of the driver and no knowledge on the owner on a
well, but
car.
Under your under the present statute, the owner has to be served, and he can come in and defend.
It's on page 475-625.
I'm just on page.
Yeah, the same procedure applies as in the liquor law violation.
But I know that, I mean, that the owner of the vehicle, like say if it's the parents that own it and the kid is the one that has it, the parents can come in and defend against the forfeiture, all right. But you don't have to prove that the...
See, the present 471-657 says that .471-665 says no claim of ownership or of any right, title, or interest in or to such vehicle shall be held valid unless the claimant shows to the satisfaction of the court that he is in good faith the owner of the claim and had no knowledge that the vehicle was used or to be used in violation of law.
Mm-hmm. In other words, the parents got to come in and say that they had no idea that their kid was using it.
Well, or if you rent it from Hertz or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But it does... particularly, if the parents really know that their kid is using and carrying drugs, they're jeopardizing the family vehicle to let him go out on the road with it.
Well, is there any reason, so Roger, is there any reason why we should take out the present language?
You mean as to the person operating?
Yeah.
Captain Harrell just raised a question,
Howard.
Too. On the search of motor vehicles, you deleted that. And that, the constitutionality of it could possibly be decided, I suppose, in a case that's pending for the Supreme Court right now, although they really don't go after it, the constitutionality of the thing directly. But I think it's a very valuable statute. And
well, we haven't left it out, we just didn't move it over. In other words, it would still be in 475.
You'd still leave it. It would not be repealed.
No.
Oh,
just subsection 2.
And should it be over there?
I would think perhaps. Well, but that isn't really part of the regulatory end of it.
It probably should be with the criminal section.
This is a very valuable tool. It's used very effectively almost every day, and we have that State versus Raymond where the Supreme Court said it was constitutional.
Yeah, well, there wasn't any intent to take it out of the law. It's a question where we're going to put it.
Why don't we bring both ends of it over, and then I don't know how the rest of you feel, but it seems to me the present wording of the owner or the person driving or whatever the wording is should come over as well, and then because you still got your saving clause for the innocent owner. Mm-hmm. He gets out under this 471-665. Is there a motion to that effect?
Mm-hmm. Looking like when the judge looks you right in the eye and says, is there a motion to that effect? You say yes.
We got an $8,000 Ferrari up in penalty for confiscating the section.
Yeah, we thought we were going to get
what
it.
What do you do with
a real question?
What do you do with those? You sell them?
Sheriff sells them.
Sheriff sells them. Yeah.
Sheriff sells them?
Yeah. I know the city used to turn them over to me all the time, and I'd sell them.
Does the money go to the state or the county?
It goes to the state and the county.
Yeah, I think split of some kind.
Do they?
But now, if you're a narcotic and dangerous drug, they have no provision for the purchase of automotive equipment. All of their cars are confiscated cars. Down in California, around Los Angeles, they have Continentals.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Cadillacs, and Indians, right? This
might be, I don't know, I suppose, I guess you should go ahead and sell them, although the question, we had a forfeiture one come up. We had a Volkswagen that old beat the psychedelic painted Volkswagen that when we first got, you know, thought, well, you know, the police might use it, you know, in undercover or something, you know, it'd be a handy car to have around, but under the statute, you've got, at least it appears that you've got to sell it. So I don't know whether it'd be any advantage in allowing the sheriff to either sell or keep it.
You better phrase it a little better than that.
Yeah, I that's not quite what I... We'll clean it up.
Yeah. We'll take it to Earl Scheib. He repaints for $29. The motion is to approve the unnumbered section relating to forfeiture conveyances with the provision that it will be substantially as both 1 and 2 of 475-120. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. That leaves us in with, have we talked about the one about possession of drugs in the second degree? You fellas dealt with that while I was out making some calls. That leaves us with immunity then.
Yeah, that's 475-150, sub 3 on page 31.
What is on page 31?
This just brings it over.
Yeah. We might add in jurors and court clerks. Because this is one of the ridiculous arguments that they make you as far as, you know, now you jurors, when you go into that jury room with this stuff, you're violating this statute.
Who makes that argument?
I've had it made by at least, well, one attorney particularly, but a couple, three have used it, but only one uses it, several, has used it more than once.
I assume that appropriate proceedings are underway in the bar to pull his ticket. Did he win?
Heck no.
Yeah, well. I bet I could have made that argument too.
You turn right around and you talk about the discretion of the law.
You talk about the discretion?
Anybody have any further discussion on the immunity section? If there's no objection, it'll be considered as approved. Okay. Marvelous.
We'll be adjourned.
Good. Oh. Gee, I think that's good, real good progress.
Yeah. Now I can.
Don, with respect to with respect to our next meeting, do you want to wait until maybe tomorrow or Saturday to talk about it? It's getting a little late.
Yeah.
Today.
Okay.
And well, we figure out then when we want to meet. You going to be here tomorrow, Don?
No, I cannot be here tomorrow. I'll be here Saturday. Okay.
You going to be here tomorrow or Saturday?
I'll be here tomorrow and Saturday.
Okay. Well, let's do.
Although I don't like Saturday meetings.
The lady transferred to the narcotic law, the general penal code, and the lady still needs regulatory.
475. What is it?
It provides that all special funds provided by law for the enforcement of the liquor laws in the state are available as used in prohibiting the sale and use of narcotic drugs, and further provides that all officers, agents, and inspectors operated by law and enforce the liquor laws in the state to likewise enforce the laws of the state regulating and prohibiting the sale of narcotic drugs. Of course, the question is, why wouldn't it be better to require that all police officers of the state are charged with the enforcement of this act rather than refer to the liquor laws? I don't see the relationship between liquor laws and drugs.
Well, I think that is in there because the 474 and 475 are off by themselves, not even in the criminal code. Whereas now we'll have it
right in
the criminal code, where it'll be obvious that this is something for the police. Wouldn't
have to be specifically.
No. Now on the funds and stuff, that's something that.
Well, I just wonder if there's. I wonder if those two subsections. Do they have any practical effect now? In other words, does the governor now allot liquor monies for narcotics enforcement?
District attorneys do.
The district attorneys do?
Well, here's the thing. That in counties, district court funds now have to go into the general fund. Like, you know, your minor in possession fines and this type of thing. Go into a liquor, used to go in a liquor and narcotics enforcement fund, or a liquor enforcement fund, so that we could use those. Now all the ones from district courts go in just regular fines. Those counties that have justice courts still get this money, and the district attorneys in those counties simply get a letter from the governor authorizing them to use this liquor enforcement fund for narcotics.
Well, as a practical
matter. But the rest of us budget for it.
Well.
Before we don't have Jake.
How much
adjourn,
dough?
Jim, did you adjourn?
Yes, we adjourned. How much dough are you really talking about?
Well,
in other words, how would it be different if you didn't have those two sections?
Well, until they ruled that our district court fines weren't dispensed that way, it was somewhere, some years it'd be $800-900 down there.
And now the district court funds go into general fund?
Just the, like your regular fines.
How about from circuit court?
They're the same. They just
go into general fund.
Yeah, it's the JP fines.
It's only the JP fines which now go
into this.
Through this deal here.
There are certain things like the fines for furnishing intoxicating liquors, a minor in possession, and well, there are also ones for running a still and some of those type of ones that go into a liquor enforcement fund to be dispensed by the district attorney in the enforcement of those laws. I mean, that's how Linklater was trying to get his office remodeled up there in Washington County when he
was
the DA there.
Isn't that really a matter for us to call to the attention of legislative council and say, look, this is an anomaly. Why don't you do something about it? Why should we bring that into the criminal code? Do you see any reason why we should?
Well,
I mean, why are we solemnly legislating concerning administrative financial affairs of a narcotic squad? I mean, in the first place, most county treasurers I'm aware of would hardly be looking here for direction anyway. I don't know.
Well, I think it ought to be left where it is, personally. But if you want to recommend that some attention be given to it, I mean, we could do that. We could either formally or informally.
Why don't we just do this? Why don't we stick a sentence in the commentary, say that we're recommending...